What up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Ask Paul. My name is Paul Abernathy, your host for this series, where you can be the person that submits questions to me directly through our portal over at paulabernathy.com. That's PAULABERNATHY.com. And you can get all those pressing answers answered. Let me be your tour guide into teaching you the National Electrical Code, or even providing insight to some of your most pressing questions, and you want answers. All right, so I also have to mention that we are sponsored by Electrician Pride. So that's electrician and then PRIDE.com, all one word, electricianpride.com. And that's the location you go for all of your unique swag, master electrician, journeyman electrician, engineer, phone cases, mugs, hats, shirts, hoodies, unique designs. The Electrify series is out there. God of Current is out there. There's so many different designs to look through. We even have some shoes that are available. Those are pretty wicked. Underwear, believe it or not. There's so many things we have to offer. So go check out. Do me a favor. Show some love. Go to electricianpride.com. Now, some of the things are a little more expensive than you might get somewhere else, but you got to remember these are made to print. So again, it's costs a little more to do that. We don't print these in mass quantities. So again, show some mad respect for the fact that it allows you to buy something in a one-off rather than buying something in bulk. Okay, so that's all about that over on electricianpride.com. Now, and then from time to time, we do give coupons and discounts and things like that. So again, gift cards are available, so check it out. Okay, so if you want to learn the National Electrical Code, all of this is overall sponsored by Electrical Code Academy Incorporated, which I am the CEO and president of. It's a Texas-based corporation, and you can learn the National Electrical Code with me and join me on Wednesday nights for our live sessions. Get into our Fast Tracks program. Of course, we have residential, commercial, we have industrial, we have grounding and bonding, we have Electricity 101, okay? Not only in addition to our famous Fast Tracks NEC learning program that you can get into, whether you're an electrical inspector, an engineer, preparing for an exam, doesn't matter. It's all based on code, and you get to join me on Wednesday nights exclusively. So check it out. All on our website, electricalcodeacademy.com.net or .org, or masterthenec.com. Check it out. All right. So today's question comes to me. It says, Paul, can you please explain the use an application of 310.12 in the 2020 edition of the National Electrical Code. I'm confused when I can use 310.12. Thanks in advance. Okay, so let's kind of take a step back. So this rule got into the code in previous in 2017 code. This was 310.15b7, and it got relocated in the 2020 code to 310.12 because there was a total restructuring of chapter 3, and it is in the best way, trust me. It was so much better the way they've organized it for the 2020. Big shout out to Dave Messier and Chris Hunter, who were instrumental in that code panel 6 and getting this reorganization during the 2020 cycle. A wonderful job. It flows so much better, and the most important aspects are moved to the front now. The conductor types, the application. So again, it just flows so much better. So kudos to them for taking that challenge on. And so the question becomes, what is 310.12 all about? And again, I'm talking 2020 version of the NEC. Well, this has to do with an 83% rule, which is saying, you know what, if you follow all the rules, all the caveats that we're going to discuss in 310.12, then what it means is that my conductors have to be at least 83% of whatever the service or feeder rating is. And if you're saying, well, I don't know what the service or feeder rating is, well, assuming you've done a calculation and you've sized your service disconnect, you've got a breaker or a fuse, because you could have a fuse. If you look at the informational note that's after D, it's at the bottom. You have to go over and look at it on the right side of the page where the table is. If you're in the 2020, you'll notice that there's an informational note there that reminds you that the service or feeder rating for this section is based on the standard ampere rating for fuses and inverse time circuit breakers from 240.6A. So the list of them that are in 240.6A, those are your standard sizes. And whatever's on your circuit breaker or whatever's on your feeder, for whether it's a service or feeder, that is your service or feeder rating. And that's where you're going to apply this 83% to. Okay, so I just want to kind of get that out of the way up front. Okay, so the other question we get with 310.12 is you've got two different trains of thought here. You've got the electrician that's in the field, and then, of course, you got the person that's studying for an electrical exam. When it comes to the electrical exam, you always want to utilize the benefits of 310.12 for conductor sizing, for service conductor sizing. You always want to benefit, use it, because unless they tell you otherwise, because it results in the best possible answer. In the real world, you're going to use this because, again, the price of copper, the price of aluminum, the price of cable, you want to go with what the code allows you to have is the minimum size. Can you go larger than that? Absolutely. That's why 310.12 is a permissive. It says it shall be permitted to use this concept here. You can full size it if you want. If you want to spend more on the cable, the want to spend more on the conductors and go larger, that's perfectly okay. But you don't have to based on this. If you follow and you fall within the parameters of the guidelines for using 310.12, which we're going to look at. Okay, so I just wanted to lay that out there so you kind of see where we're going with the mental train of thought here. And I will try to paint you, as I always do, a mental picture of what's going on. So on an exam, definitely always use 310.12. In the field, I would always use 310.12 if it falls within the parameters, but you're permitted to use it. You don't have to use it, okay? All right. Just remember, for exam, you're going with the best plausible answer, okay? All right, so, and again, that probably results in the smallest conductor and whatever would allow you to have, and that's why you would use 310.12. All right, so let's read the opening charging part of 310.12, because what it's broken into is 310.12 A, B, C, and D. Now, A, B, C, and D is going to apply to the 122 40-volt systems, but only A, B, and C are going to apply to the 208Y120 derivative of a three-phase system where you're taking off of it, you're getting single-phase feeders that consist of two ungrounded conductors and one grounded conductor and a neutral, and it's coming from a 208Y120 in order to achieve this, okay? You're getting the single-phase portion of that, all right? So then you're going to be limited only to A, B, and C, but don't worry. Don't worry, that sounds confusing. I'm going to paint you that mental picture as we go through each piece and kind of bring you there with me mentally. All right, let me read what it says in 310.12. It says single phase, dwelling services and feeders. It says for one family dwellings, and that's what we're going to be using as an example today, for one family dwellings and the individual dwelling units of two family and multifamily dwellings, service and feeder conductors supplied by a single phase 122 40 volt system shall be permitted to be sized in accordance with 310.12 A through D. And of course, A is services, B is feeders, C is a feeder ampacity, so it's going to tell you that it doesn't ever have to be larger than whatever you would calculate in A and B. And of course, D is a grounded conductor, the sizing of the grounded conductor. Okay. Now, obviously, 122 40 volt, you're going to use A, B, C, and D. 208Y120, a derivative single phase that from a three-phase system where you're only pulling two ungrounded and a grounded, that is going to not utilize D because typically in a system like that, your grounded conductor is going to be the same size as your ungrounded conductors. Okay? Again, not knowing your system, not knowing what's going on, but that's generally the rule. This is saying you can't use D, and I'll explain when we get to D why that's significant. Okay, so let's kind of move our way through it. Now, it says, okay, by the way, for one family dwellings and the individual dwelling units of two family and multifamily dwellings, single phase feeder conductors consisting, okay, of two ungrounded conductors and the neutral conductor that are coming from a 208Y120 volt system shall be permitted to be sized in accordance with 310.12 A through C. So you notice that when you're dealing with this one, that it's basically saying, guess what? You're not going to be utilizing D, which is the grounded conductor sizing here. Okay. So it's pretty clear. Now, for us, we probably deal with most, the majority of what we would deal with is the 122-40, but there are large commercial buildings that have three-phase service, but they're deriving from it, from a 208-120 system. They're coming from it, and they're going to be supplying with two ungrounded conductors and a grounded conductor, the single-phase derivative of the three-phase system that's going out to these individual dwelling units, you could apply this code. Okay, so that's kind of in a nutshell what we're talking about. Now, for me and you, and for the most part, we're probably going to stick with the 122.40 just to keep it simple so we don't want to overly confuse it, because it is a podcast, by the way. So we don't have any pictures to show. All right. And I should mention, if you're somebody out there that listens to this and you're thinking, I know all this, why are you listening? Turn it off. Go listen to somebody else. I'm just saying. But if you want to learn, keep listening. You're 11 minutes in. All right. Okay, so now let's look at it. We have an A, a B, a C, and a D. So the first one we're going to look at is services. So it says, for a service rating 100 amperes through 400 amperes. So unless you're on an exam and it states that you cannot use 310.12, if your service falls between 100 amps and 400 amps, then you're going to be able to apply 310.12. So far, so good. It says, the service conductor supplying the entire load associated with the one family dwelling, or the service conductors supplying the entire load associated with the individual dwelling unit in two family or multifamily dwellings, shall be permitted to have an ampacity not less than 83% of the service rating. Now, this is important because people say, well, where would this ever happen in a multifamily? Well, just think in your mind about the allowances in 230.40 exception number one. Whereas as long as there's service entrance conductors and they're kept outside of the building, they can wrap around a building. They don't penetrate the building. And then once they terminate into the service equipment, it's not more than six and, you know, in one location. So there is allowances where these are still service conductors, okay, that this would apply to a multifamily dwelling. So kind of keep that wrapped in your head. This is very much about the service conductors, okay? Then it says, it shall be permitted to have an ampacity not less than 83% of the service rating. And again, we saw where the service rating came from. It's whatever the rating is of the service device, okay, the overcurrent device, whatever its rating is based on 240.6A. And of course, based on your calculation, of course. It also goes on and says, if no adjustment or correction factors are required, those are the adjustment and correction factors that are associated, correction being temperature, adjustment being the number of current carrying conductors. When you have more than three. So those are found in 310.15B and 310.15C. But if you're in the 2017 code, that's 310.15 B2A and B3A is where you're going to look for those things. But this is all about adjustments and corrections for ambient temperatures and adjustments for the number of current carrying conductors. If they don't apply, then this tells you you can just go right down to the table. Now, the table was brought back for the 2020. In the 2017, it was still here, but it was in informative Annex D, and it was in example D7, and that's where you could see the table. And you can also see an explanation, an example of when you might have an adjustment or correction taking place so that you kind of know that you treat it like you would normal conductors. Remembering, at the end of the day, it still can't be smaller than 83% of whatever the service or feeder rating is, okay? So, at any rate, that's for services. So, if I meet the 100 through 400, let's talk a little bit about the portion in here that says it serves the entire load. So let me paint you a mental picture so you can get a grasp of what we're talking about. All right, so let's do an overhead. And it's a single family dwelling, just to keep it simple. So I'm coming down from a transformer, coming to the weatherhead, going down the weatherhead with SCU down into the meter. I'm coming out of the meter. And let's say you're not in the 2020 edition of the NEC yet. So you're going to go from that meter straight into the back into a service panel, okay? You can't do that in 2020 code. For one and two family, you have to have an exterior disconnect as emergency disconnect. But we're just saying, giving you some examples here. So let's say it's the old school way up to the 20. So this is 2017 and earlier. You're going straight from the weatherhead, straight down through the meter and into the back of a panel. Okay. If that is the only panel and all the breakers in that panel, the feeders and the branch circuits, everything originates in there, then it's handling that service from the weatherhead all the way down through the meter to that panel's line side is handling and seeing and experiencing 100% of that dwelling's load. Everything is going to be going through those conductors. So if that's the case, then I'm allowed to apply the 83% rule to this. Okay? And we'll do an example here in just a second. We'll do it on a most common application. We'll do a 200 amp service. Okay. Now, let me paint you the second picture that would be an example of when something would not be handling 100% of the load. Oh, wait a minute. First, let me give you an example of another installation under the 2020 code, which would still be handling 100% of the load. And this would be an example where, let's say I came down from the weatherhead, I came through the meter, and let's say I had a meter disconnect, because that's allowed in the allowances of 230.85. And so it's just a meter disconnect. It's not a service disconnect, just a meter disconnect. So let's say you chose to do that. Those are still service conductors that pass through the meter. Those are still service conductors that pass through the meter disconnect, which can be your emergency disconnect, because that rule is just to have a disconnecting means. And then it continues on, and then it goes and it hits that panel. Now, remember, that panel still has, since those are service conductors, you got the limitations of 230.70, so it has to be outside or nearest point of entry, okay? You don't want service conductors running through the building, okay? So at that point, even then, that panel and those conductors are seeing 100% of the load because it's simply passing through that meter disconnect, going to the panel. You with me? So in that case, 83% rule would apply. You could utilize it. Let me give you another example. So what if I'm coming from the weatherhead, I'm coming down the riser, and I'm going through the meter, and then I have my disconnect mounted outside. Say it's a 200 amp disconnect, Square D, Schneider, or a Cutler hammer, whatever. And all it is the service disconnect. But also, since it's exterior, it will serve also as the emergency disconnect, again, under 230.85. It also meets the overcurrent protection rules in 230. So everything is good. And I believe that's 230.90. Everything is good. Now, if that's the case, what comes out the load side of that is now a feeder. And that one would be utilizing the 310.12b for that application. But what I'm going to tell you is that feeder would never have to be larger than what the service conductors would be coming down based on 310.12a. And you get that permission from C. And that is where it says, in no case shall the feeder in an individual dwelling unit be required to have an ampacity greater than that specified in 310.12a. Right? So we're using 310.12a to go from the weatherhead down to the service disconnecting means. And in that case, the feeder from that outside service disconnecting means, which also serves as the emergency disconnect, that feeder would not have to be larger than what we calculated under the 83% allowance in 310.12a. So that's how C works for that application. Okay. Now, let me give you the fourth case scenario where you could not use these allowances here in 310.12. So let's say you have a weatherhead from overhead coming through the weatherhead, coming down the wall, going in the meter, and it hits a NEMA 3R panel outside. So that is your service disconnect, okay? But it also has, let's say, 4 breakers in it, okay? And you still got a panel inside, which now obviously is a feeder, wherever it's located inside the dwelling. And if it's a feeder and it has overcurrent protection, it can be located anywhere you want in the dwelling within reason. Obviously not in bathrooms and whatnot, goes without saying for all of those trolls out there. So at the end of the day, if I put breakers in that panel outside and I serve, let's say, maybe an air conditioner that's right there for convenience, so it says, why not just put a 4-circuit panel in there, 200 amp, and then I'll go from there and feed a panel inside with a feeder. But since I'm right here, I'm just going to pick up these outside units, just all right here. Well, you could use 310.12a down to the service disconnecting means. However, from the portion from that panel into the remote panel inside, you could not use the 83% allowance rule here in 310.12. Why? Because that feeder is not seeing 100% of the dwelling's load. It's only seeing the load that's in that remote panel. Whether you agree with that or not, you say, well, that doesn't make sense, Paul, because that's going to be less loads. It's not including the loads that are outside. Well, it's all based on diversity. And so the code is what it is. And the code says that you cannot use this rule if that's the case. However, you also get to remember the allowance in C for that feeder, remembering in no case does it have to be larger than the service or feeder to that dwelling unit. Okay, based on 310.12a or b. So you do have your saving grade. It doesn't have to be larger, okay, for that application. So so there you kind of see the nuances of how that works, okay? So again, I think that's all the examples I want to give with that one. I'm sure somebody will come up with another one, but that's just all of the scenarios that I can think about for the service application and when you create feeders. Now, with that said, let's move to feeders specifically. So feeders deal with 310.12b, and it says for a feeder rated 100 amperes through 400 amperes, says the feeder conductor supplying the entire load associated with the one family dwelling, or the feeder conductor supplying the entire load associated with the dwelling unit in a two family or multifamily dwelling, shall be permitted to have an ampacity not less than 83% of the feeder's rating. So this would be an example where I have multifamily and I'm coming out of a meter set and I've got the service disconnects outside, let's say grouped, not more than six per service. Per six per service set. And so I'm going from there. And the reason I have to say it that way is because we got to be very aware of the allowances in 230.40 exceptions. So I'm going from there and I'm now a feeder and I'm going out to the individual dwelling unit. Well, if the panel in that individual dwelling unit is handling 100% of the load, because it's just in that dwelling unit, and provided I follow the 122 40 volt parameters here, or if it's a 28Y120, and we're doing that, as long as I'm following the parameters and the charging statements of 310.12, then I can apply the 83% to that feeder. As long as that feeder, again, is supplying the panel that's supplying 100% of that dwelling unit's load is being cycled through that panel. You with me? So if you have to think about this in a mental way, in order to utilize the 83%, the conductors in question that you're sizing has to see the entire load to be subject to it. If that's the case, and it doesn't matter if that branch is off, if it handles 100% of the load, it's going to be cycling through that set of conductors, then you can apply this 83% rule to whatever the rating is of the feeder or the service. You with me? Okay. So again, this one also goes on to remind you that you can use this table at the bottom as a shortcut unless you have adjustment or corrections that take place. So you need to know whether or not you have an ambient issue and you got to make a correction, or you got more than three current conductors and you have to make an adjustment. And if you do, I encourage you to go look at the example D7 in Annex D for an example of what you would do in order to be able to do that calculation. And to be honest with you, you treat it just like you would for any adjustment or correction. You're able to use the 90-degree rating of the insulation provided that your conductors have 90-degree rated insulation. So that's a key that it does. And then you can do adjustment and corrections. Ultimately, you got to, one, be able to handle the load, and two, you got to make sure that your conductors don't result in an ampacity that is less than what's required here in 310.12, which is can't be less than 83% of the service rating. So you're going to do all this adjustment and correction ultimately to make sure that you're not being less than 83%, and making sure that at the end of the day, you can still handle the calculated load, okay? So you got to do all that. That's why we're electricians. That's why we get the big bucks, right? That's why we get the big money. Okay, so remember that. Use the table unless you've got adjustment or corrections. Otherwise, you're going to have to do some math. The next one was, again, that feeder ampacities, which we again said our feeder does come into play. The granite conductor shall be printed to be, it says in no case shall the feeder for an individual dwelling unit, so this applies to the individual dwelling unit, be required to have a ampacity greater than specified in 310.12 A or B. So you do that calculation in A or B, it does not have to be larger than that, okay? All right, and then of course, D. Now, D is talking about the grounded conductor. Now, remember when we were dealing with 208Y120 and we were deriving two ungrounded conductors and a neutral conductor from that type of system, that I cannot use D here. And that's when this D is allowing the grounded conductor to be smaller than the ungrounded conductors. Now, typically, because this is a 208Y120, and because it's being derived from it to two ungrounded conductors and a neutral, that typically the neutral will be the same size as the ungrounded conductors. And we're not going to get into those nuances on that today, but I want the person that submitted it to know that this is saying if it's a 208Y120, two ungrounded conductors and a neutral derived from it, you are not going to be able to reduce the size of the grounded conductor, okay? And then you've got to go look at the nuances between that. So we're going to talk about how it applies to a 120 240 volt application, where it clearly states that we can utilize D here for this. So here's what it says. Grounded conductors. It says grounded conductors shall be permitted. Okay, so again, they could be full size. You could always make them the same size as the ungrounded conductors, right? And it says, and in some cases, they might even be larger depending on what you have, you know, harmonics or whatnot like that, or triplins or whatnot, or engineer design. It could be they could engineer something larger. Okay, that's, again, engineers have that prerogative. It says, the grounded conductors shall be permitted to be size smaller than the ungrounded conductors if the requirements of 220.61, based on a calculation and determining what the maximum imbalance load is, and 230.42 for service conductors, or the requirements of 215.2 for feeders, and 220.61, again, which correlates to the maximum imbalance load that would be exposed to that neutral conductor for feeders, are met. So as long as you meet your sizing rules and whatnot, and you know that your grounded conductor can still handle the calculated load, the maximum imbalance between phases, then it's okay. It could be smaller. Now, to give you an example of this, manufacturers that produce, for example, SEU cable is style U, which is two conductors in a helical grounded conductor that wraps around it, right? In that scenario, typically for a 200-amp panel, it's going to be 4-aught, and that's good for 180 amps. But because this table allows me, if you go to the bottom of this table, 310.12, you'll notice that 200 amp panel, if you go to the right under aluminum, you'll see that it allows for 4-aught. Now, 310.16 says that's good for 180 amps, not good for 200. However, it's perfectly okay. This is 83% rule, and I'll show you how that works out here in just a second to wrap this lesson up. So if you don't have any adjustment corrections, boom, right here, 200 amp panel, 4-aught aluminum, good to go. But what this saying about the grounded conductor is typically in those 4-aught SEUs, the berated helical bare grounded conductor is equivalent to about a 2-aught. So the standard UL854 won't allow that grounded conductor to be more than two sizes less than the ungrounded. So those are 4-aught, and you got a 3-aught that's in between there, and then you've got a 2-aught. So usually it's a 4-aught, and then you have a 2-aught grounded conductor in that SEU style cable. Okay, that's typically what you'll see, all right? But can you buy it with all of them the same size? Absolutely, absolutely you can. This is a permissive rule here, by the way, folks, so remember that. You can always full size everything if you want, all right? So let's do an example. So if I was doing a 200 amp service, and I wanted to know what 83% of that is. Of course, I could go to this table and 200 amp goes over and I see a 4-aught. But that doesn't tell me what the amps are, the 83% amps for the rating of that service. So if I did 200 and I do it times 0.83, that's 166 amps. So 83% of 200 is 166 amps. So for me, if I had no adjustment of corrections to take place, I'm going to go now to 310.16. And I'm going to go into the 75-degree column because I'm not doing any adjustment or correction. I'm not going to use the 90. And at this point, I don't even know that the insulation's rated 90. It may or may not. What I do know is that based on the fact that it's over 100 amps, that it would be 110.14C1 would tell me it's going to be in the 75-degree. Just be careful of what's marked on the conductors because you might be stuck in 60. But typically, this would be 75. So I look at it, and if I go down under the copper, it looks like I need to have at least 166. So under 2-aught, it says 175, which is greater than 1-aught, which is 150. So if I'm doing copper, it's 2-aught, right? And if I'm doing aluminum, you go to the right side, you go down, and you're going to the center, 75 degree. And remember, you're not using the 90 unless you're doing adjustment and correction, and the conductors have insulation on it that is rated 90. Can't use 90 if they're not rated for 90, by the way. Just keep that in mind. So then I go down, and I notice that, well, let's see, 3-aught's 155. That's not enough. The 83% minimum is 166. We did the math already. We go down to the next size, 180. So 180 is more than adequate to handle 166, so that correlates with this table, okay? Interesting fact. If I did a load calculation and my load on my calc did not exceed 180, say it's 176, okay, then I could utilize this, even if I didn't use 310.12, I could terminate this 180 amp rated conductor on a 200 amp rated overcurrent device. And you're saying, why am I even using 310.12? Because it's just an easy way to do it for the permissible size, the minimum permissible size. But if you look in this example, it kind of correlates with the allowances in 240. So just kind of as craps and giggles, I like to go and look at what the allowances is in 240. So in 240.4, and we look at, let's see here, B, 240.4B, it says overcurrent devices rated 800 amperes or less. It says the next higher standard overcurrent device rating above the ampacity of conductor being protected, which in this case was 180 amps for the aluminum. Again, I'm just going through an exercise, folks. It says shall be permitted to be used, provided all the following conditions are met. So the difference in 310.12 is I get to ignore these conditions. I just go to the table. But it takes care of itself in the real world if I use this and go, okay, well, let me see. What are the conditions? All right, the conductor being protected are not part of a branch circuit. Well, okay, well, it's not. It's services or feeder. So done. And then second one says the ampacity of the conductor does not correspond with the standard ampere rating of a fuse or circuit breaker. And 180 doesn't, because if you go look at 240.6A, you'll notice that it jumps from 175 up to 200. So that's good check. And the third one says the next higher standard rating selected does not exceed 800. Well, we ain't got to worry about that because we're talking about a 200 amp. So we're good to go. So we would actually, as long as the calculated load didn't exceed 180, we could go and put that 180 amp rated conductor on a 200 amp rated device. Of course, I'm going to caution you, be aware of adjustment, be aware of continuous loads and non-continuous loads and all that. And if you don't know anything about that, I'm going to encourage you to join our subscription program over at electrocodeacademy.net. You can subscribe and you get access to podcasts and videos that are exclusive. They're not on YouTube. And we have things like Derating Demystified. We have an 8-part series on swimming pools that I have a buddy of mine come in and we produce that. There's a lot of information there that is exclusive. And it's you can go month to month. If you get it what you need after a month or 2 months, you can just cancel your subscription. It's up to you. But it is available you to go over there and get what will help you out to help you become successful. So think about subscribing to that program. You can come and go as you choose, or you can buy an annual subscription. You get access to a year, plus you get access to all special webinars we do, like the Grounding and Bonding series that we've been doing for the last 2 months, okay? Only available to members, okay? So just remember that. All right, so anyway, I just wanted to take you through a lesson because there's more than one ways to skin a cat, even though I hate that saying. We're purely talking about 310.12 today, but I wanted to give you an example of how we could get there by using the rules in 240.4B to do the exact same thing for those that say, oh no, I don't understand. All right. So anyway, that is pretty much explains all of the information when it comes to 310.12. Hopefully you got something out of that. I'll remind you, there are informational notes here that remind you of the things that I've talked about. Also gives you a reference to the example so you can see what an adjustment and correction might look at. Remember, you can't use this table if there's an adjustment and correction to be had, okay? But it's an easy process. You do it just like you would normally do it for a conductor to make sure it can handle the load, and the conductor is not less than 83% of the service or feeder rating at the end of the day, okay? At the end of the day, still has to be that way. All right. Anyway, again, I get it. It's hard to picture this stuff in a podcast. And I talk awful quick, so that means you have to listen to it multiple times to get me, all right? Again, you too can submit your questions over at paulabernathy.com, so make sure you do that. Visit our website, again, paulabernathy.com, submit your questions, and if selected, you could have your question featured on an upcoming podcast. Till next time, stay safe. God bless.